And so kind of what's been happening this morning is the first service, the Lord just kind of hijacked the service. And we talked about the importance of prophesying, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of, it's kind of off script. All right, so Chancellor and these others up here, man, they grabbed it, man. And been prophesying, like speaking by inspiration and seeing stuff and sharing what he's seeing. That's all Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it is.
Because God cares about people. And so he said, you know, a couple things. And I said to Rhea, what are we supposed to do with that? You know, because I mean, I don't have it all figured out anymore. But I said, she goes, well, if that's happening and he spoke that and saying that and the Holy Ghost said it, if you're one of those people that your mind's fogged, you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing or whatever that means, and you've kind of got like a foggy environment, and you're not real clear in your head about where God wants you and what he wants you to do, and I don't know what all that means. If that's you, I really think what we're supposed to do, and if I'm wrong, at least we're wrong trying, that if that's you, you need to have the courage to come up front, stand here, and we need to have the courage to lay hands on you and believe that something supernatural is going to happen to get you out of that fogginess and to break that off of you so you have clarity of thought. Another thing is, I think the Lord is saying to someone in here, I'm calling you to do something else. I'm calling you into a new season, and you're going to have to be willing to walk in some uncharted territory and walk into some uncomfortable places that are new to you so you can fulfill your destiny. So I think what I sense the Lord saying is, I'm going to make it, I'm drawing you into a place where you were always meant to be, but you probably don't recognize it yet. And so if that's you, you're like, God, I know there's more for me. I'm searching. I know there's something else for me to be and do and go and all that. I'm just not sure what it is. I think if that's you, you need to come down here and let's minister by the leading of the Holy Spirit, all right? So we're just going to give time. If that fits you, come on, and let's just sing and worship the Lord. Yeah, that's fine. Under your mighty hand. Because God, I know you're not done with me yet. I know you're not done with me yet. That's a cry of your heart. I know you're not done with me yet. I know you're not done with me yet. Well, that's the cry of your heart. Often when you're praying in the Spirit, you're saying, I know you're not done with me. I know you're not done with me. And so clear and clean, I want to say clear and clean fire. That's a weird thing. Clear, clean fire, and no, I'm not. The Lord says, I'm not done with you. I am. No. So I see just earth, dirt, earth, clean dirt, earth, and I see a treasure under it, and I see the Lord knocking the earth off, and I see treasure coming forth, things that were birthed in your heart by even as a child that have not yet come to pass. I will not leave you disappointed. I will not leave you disappointed. I will not leave you disappointed. And no, no, you haven't finished yet. It's a new fire, fresh anointing from the Lord. Ha ha, ha ha. Even into your bones and joints, says the Lord. And prophesy, man of God. Speak by the leading of the Spirit. Prophesy, my love. Prophesy, speak, declare, call forth those that I send your way. Call forth their destiny. Call forth the gold that's in them. Cause them to see what they don't see. Call forth their worth in my sight. Release my love. I've anointed you to do it. Step up and prophesy, and you'll find every step will become sharper and clearer and more accurate. Yes, yes, yes. Ha ha. Not done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you for a total turnaround in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that you're opening her eyes to see her. that you're opening her eyes to see her, Lord, the way you see her, so that she is walking freely and boldly in who she is, in who she is. Lord says, you don't need to be anybody else. You don't need to be anybody else. You don't need to be anybody else's. I made you who you are, and I'm revealing to you who you are, and who you are is awesome, and who you are is precious. And my spirit and my anointing and my word is in your heart, and I want you to release it. I want you to step out of the fear. I want you to step out of the place of where you think there's failure, and I want you to say, Lord, I'm casting caution to the wind. Use me the way you want to use me. Lord, I'll speak, I'll encourage, I'll lift. I'm saying yes to you, Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is about it. It doesn't matter about whatever's happened in my past. Lord, I receive the assignment, and it's okay to be me today. It's okay to be me in you. And I release you into that, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So I've anointed your mouth. I've anointed your hands. You're full of my spirit. And release, speak blessing. Begin to bless, begin to bless, begin to bless. And you'll find as you call out the destiny and the gold of others. Hallelujah. Thank you. Pray as you're led. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Guys, listen, just continue to pray out there. If they start singing, it's hard for people to hear what we're saying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we just lift our hands and worship the Lord for a minute? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Guys, this is really serious stuff, man. It may be weird to you. You may not have done church this way, but it's okay. You know, it's cool. This is different, but God's okay. God's unique. He knows what he's doing. And obviously, this many people coming up, this is the Lord has really accurately done something here. So we thank you and we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, so you've taken steps. You've taken steps in the right direction. And you continue to step. And you've stepped out of dark places and you've stepped into the light. But now I'm calling you to go into the dark places of others and to pull them into the light. Pull them into the light of my love. Pull them into the light of my truth. Pull them into the light of my gospel. But don't err in thinking that you can do it in your own ability. It's the anointing that I placed upon you, and it's the joy that I placed within you, and it's the love that I flooded in your heart, and it's the compassion that floods out of you. And don't hold back and quit putting the brakes on. Don't put the brakes on it. Don't, doesn't matter what they think or say. You belong to me. I'm yours. You're mine. We love each other. And so, you say, Lord, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. So when I inspire you to call, you call. Don't hold back. When I inspire you to speak at the dinner table, you say it. Hallelujah. Because I know that you've yielded your heart to me, and I yearn to know them. And it's up to them whether they receive or don't receive, says the Lord. It's up to them if they laugh at you or they scoff or whatever. He said, but I yearn to reach out to them, and I know I have your heart, and I know I have a yes in your soul, and you'll speak boldly, and you'll be blessed, and lives will be changed, and darkness will be turned into light. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Soul my lady, do my day, piercing the darkness. Oh, yeah. Well, you've underestimated what I've given you, but you're walking in it. You're walking in the light of it, but it's even more. It's more. It's more. And I delight that you're delighted. I delight that you're thrilled. I'm thrilled that you're thrilled. Yeah. So boldness is coming. Further clarity is coming. Walk it out step by step. Don't get in a hurry. The Lord says, if you get behind, I'll catch you up. I'll get you up to speed. So just don't be in a hurry to do whatever, but continue to flow, continue to hear. And again, don't put a limit on it. Don't put a limit on what I'm doing in this season in your life. Don't put a limit on the gifts of the Spirit that are flowing through you. Don't put a limit on the creative spirit that's within you. Don't put a limit on what I'll do through that. Let me take it. Let me run with it. You be obedient to me to do what I tell you to do. Write what I tell you to write. Say what I tell you to say. I'm pleased that you're willing to be interrupted, that your life, you said, if my life's on hold, I say no. Your life now stepped into a new place. You're now in acceleration. I've accelerated, you said the Lord. The enemy's been fooled. The enemy's been tricked. He thought maybe he could hijack this and hijack that, but up, the joke's on him, because now you're walking in a greater manifestation of the very things that I placed in your spirit as a young man, as a kid. And you're going to walk in the full realm of it, and you don't even have a clue where you're headed. It is awesome. It is awesome. It is awesome. Lives will be changed. You're not interested in entertaining a generation. You're interested in being a part of the solution to a generation, a supernatural calling forth by the Spirit of God to bring a generation out of its pain and despair and into the light of the love of God. And I will use you, and I will answer the cry of your heart, and I will satisfy you. But just say yes. Just keep saying yes, Lord. Keep saying yes, Lord. And you will be amazed at where this goes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 So mighty. God, we thank you, Jesus. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah, that's the word over you. And I know he gave it to you. I'm not adding. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I've called you and I've anointed you. I anointed you in your mother's womb. I called you in your mother's womb. Your mother knows that. I know that. Now you know that. And I confirm that in you. Hallelujah. And my plan and purpose, even though the tongues of men have tried to hinder you, and the tongues of men, inspired often by the devil, have tried to discourage you, he said, I've lifted you up, and I've raised you up, and I'll continue to raise you up and lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay hungry, says the Lord. Stay hungry to pursue me, because I've got places to go with you. I've got plans with you. I've got processes with you. I've got purposes with you. I've got greater things ahead of you. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to do the thing I've called you to do. Press in to know me. Know me well, and I know you well, says the Lord. And things of God, and the things of the Spirit of God, and things out of your mouth will come. That even single sentences and single phrases, even at work while you're working, will be something that'll penetrate the darkness of those around you. And they'll begin to say, you know what you said to me yesterday? That really kind of had an impact on me. And I need to know more about kind of what you know about the Lord. And I'll open doors for you, but be bold and enter through. No longer have any intimidation, for I've raised you up. You're my very own son, and I'm your very own father. And I brought you to this season for this purpose, for this time. This is your season. And know this, says the Lord, that out of your hands flows healing power. Out of your hand flows delivering power. And no, you're not going to work. I sent you there. I sent you to where you are. I sent you to where you are. And there'll come a time and a season I'll send you elsewhere. And you'll say yes, and you'll be blessed. And at the end of this time, at the end of this generation, you will see you've had an impact, says the Lord. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged that it seems like things kind of just aren't moving real fast. He said, just continue. The Lord said, continue to know me, walk with me, pursue and press. In fact, as your coach, I'm telling you, it's time for full court press. It's time for full court press, says the Lord. It's time for that in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you. Any more clarity in Jordan's heart, we release that now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He knows where he's supposed to be and when he's supposed to be there, and walks it out by faith in Jesus' name. Now, come on, let's stand up and lift our hands and magnify God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on, guys, lift up, stand up. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you and we magnify you. Say this out loud. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say it again. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Now just turn to somebody and tell them God's good even when you're not. I mean, appreciate the guys. Y'all can sit down. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. We appreciate it. Let's give our worship team a big thank you just for ministering us. Amen. So, you know, it's really on Sunday morning for a lot of pastors right now, we're like afraid to do that because we don't want anybody to get weirded out and think we're weird. And the Lord asked me, are you willing to obey me even if people think you're crazy? Asked me that right there in this service. And I said, I think so. Just being real. Because no one wants to destroy a reputation, right? Like, that church is crazy. Man, what's going on with that stuff? But I'm trying to get that really clear in my heart that I'm completely usable in his hand. Right? You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of the process. So I wish I could have this heroic, yes, God, I'm willing, hallelujah. But really, it was like, I'll try. You know, he says, well, just one step at a time. I'm not going to make you take steps you can't take, one step at a time. And so that's when I stepped over to Rhea and said, what are we supposed to do with that? You know, so guys, listen, it's not going to be three songs in a sermon anymore, okay? Unless that's what the Holy Spirit says to do. And if it's three songs in a sermon, then we're going to do what he says to do. But we've got to have our ear open to what he wants to do because he cares about people. He'll change a whole service for one person. The Holy Spirit, if we become flexible in the hand of the Holy Spirit, in the hand of the Lord, listening from our heart, he wants a flexible, malleable church, right? And so anyway, it's going to get a little bit messy with that because we're not going to get it completely right. And we can't put it on a timer, so to speak, which is that's awesome. It's not convenient. But if you study revivals in church history, all the revivals where the Holy Spirit moved, it was uncontrollable. And there was wildfire. And some of the stuff wasn't really God. It was just people overdoing it, you know. But where there is a counterfeit, there has to be a real. And anytime there's God's moving in a generation, there's a real part of it. It's real God. It's really Holy Spirit. It's a real move of God. And then it's people kind of misinterpreting it and kind of doing their own thing with it. And that causes the people in the real thing to kind of want to pull away because they don't want to be associated with the wildfire. Yep. They want to protect their reputation. I need you to think about this. Are you willing for God to make it messy in here? Yes. Is it okay? Are you okay to be interrupted? Now, if it doesn't produce fruit, it's just fanaticism. Right. If it doesn't produce changed lives, right. I think it's probably just like a Sunday morning circus. But it, you know, but if it's producing fruit of changed lives, right. I want it. Right. And I can tell you right now, the people that were spoken over and prayed over, what they heard was accurate. What they heard was what the Lord needed them to say. It wasn't perfect because God has to use imperfect people. But those of you that were prayed over, did the Lord speak something to you in your heart? Raise your hand if he did. Okay, that's cool. That's right. And that's awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Now, he wants to use all of us that way.
Absolutely.
He wants to use all of us that way. Man, how do I do this? Okay, so I think what I'm going to do, and a lot of you know it already, I think this is the right thing to do, is the pattern in the book of Acts, after Jesus rose from the dead, like when he went back to heaven and the church started. So like when he went back to heaven and the church started, the first thing that happened is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty significant,
yes. You
know, and what did that look like when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and the church began? What did that look like? Because I have a feeling what that looks like is what we should be looking like. Right? So I guess if you want to title this, the title of this right now that I'm going to minister is, the pattern is get saved and get filled. The pattern of the church is get saved, get filled.
Right.
Well, let me add a third one, and stay filled. Right, right. Can I get an amen from somebody? And so can we just go to the book of Acts, which is the roadmap of the church, and kind of see what is the pattern? And we want to make sure, because see, we're still in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is not finished yet. Come on, somebody. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, again, he said to me, I want my church back. Right? Okay? And so we want him to have his church back. And I'm willing to make mistakes to get there as long as we're willing to learn from our mistakes and because God's really trying to reach a lost generation. I know what you're thinking. Some of your younger ones are thinking, yeah, here he goes, all the millennials. No, I'm the dude. The baby boomers started lostness. My generation invented it. Because we were told by our parents that came out of World War II that were limited financially, we were told, you can do anything you want. No, you can't. You can do what God called and gifted you to do.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen? And we were just handed stuff. We were handed money and handed stuff because they wanted us to have a better life than they had. The Depression and World War II. And so, look, baby boomers need Jesus real bad. Right? And then we get to the Generation X, my younger brother's Generation X. They need Jesus bad, right? Then we get to the millennials. Y'all need Jesus bad, but no worse than we need him. And generation Y, is it Y or Z? Z, they need Jesus really bad. But here's kind of the part that's got me bothered, guys. Look, I'm 58. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm not old, right? I'm really concerned. I'm concerned that we don't even need the Holy Spirit anymore in most of our church services. We've just got it so figured out. And that's cool. I mean, I'm sure God will bless through that the best he can, and that's awesome. That's cool. But there's more. If we think we can do Christianity without the gifts of the Spirit, something's wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
Some of you don't even know what the gifts of the Spirit are, but if you hang around, we'll talk about it and get you operating in it. Because the word he gave today was activate. Yep. He wants you activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because he's trying to reach people through his power, right? So we'll talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Can't unpack that today. But say this out loud. Get saved.
Get saved.
Get filled.
Get filled.
Stay filled.
Stay filled.
Say it again. Get saved.
Get saved.
Get filled.
Get filled.
Stay filled. Okay, is that pattern true? Okay, let's look and see. Let's see if it's true. We're going to start. There's 5 examples in the book of Acts, which is the book of when the church was started. There's 5 examples. If you can't see it in the Word, then you can just throw this sermon away and just say, you know, Pastor just needs some sleep or something, right? Well, Acts chapter 8. Let's look at the pattern. I'm doing this for a reason because we want to just kind of let some things happen here. So Acts chapter 8, this is about 8 years after the resurrection of Jesus, 8 or 10 years. It said then, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. That's about 40 miles from Jerusalem, which was where the church started in Jerusalem when the Holy Ghost was given. So Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, why did they listen to Philip? Because they saw miracles. In other words, the healings and the miracles got their attention. And it's going to take healing and miracles to get their attention now. Amen. We had we were ministering down in Alabama about a year ago, and we called out a particular thing. We saw it, like Chancellor saw that picture. You know, that was such a cool picture of the Lord Gate. Where are you at, Chan? That was a cool picture, man. That was awesome. I'm glad you obeyed the Lord. Anyway, I saw as I was praying for people, we were there to do a healing revival, laying hands on the sick, ministering to the sick. And I saw a picture, or I felt a pain here. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying somebody needs healing in this area. That it was a real general word of knowledge. And so no one responded. Well, some responded. And so we called that out. There was a couple of people that couldn't come to the service, but they were watching on live stream, and she said, "That's me, that's me." And they had made some really bad lifestyle choices, really bad ones. I mean, like, if you were to judge somebody, you'd say they don't deserve it, right? Yeah. But God looks past all that stuff. And so they had these opened lymph nodes, open wounds, open, oozing, gross. Yeah. Lymph nodes oozing, and it had been that way for years. It was incurable. When I gave that word, somebody, the Lord wants to heal you right here in this armpit area, she said, "That's me. That's the Lord talking to me." And by the time she got to church, the next day she was able to come to the actual service, they had already begun to heal. And the doctor said they were incurable. Guys, all I did was have a slight impression. I could have ignored that. I could have thought it was my armpit, right? And so God's doing some really cool stuff in this day, and it's for all of us to learn how to flow with him, to be a blessing to people. So notice, though, that he got the attention of these Samaritans because of healings and miracles. The Holy Spirit manifested himself. But watch verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. A lot of theologians and a lot of pastors don't believe miracles are for today. They believe it's over. Yep. They're called cessationists, that all the gifts ceased when the Bible was completed back in whatever, 323, 8, whenever that was. When the Bible was fully, you know, compiled, They claim that there's no more gifts, no more healings, no more signs and wonders. But I have an issue with that because in two places, in Malachi 3 and in Hebrews 13, it says that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only that, but Jesus said in John 14, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. So this is not to be ugly or uppity or condemn you. This is to challenge every one of you because this is your destiny is in this question. How many supernatural things manifested through you in the past 7 days? Who did you lay hands on? Who did you release gifts of the Spirit to? Who did God use you to touch by the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit? I would hope, and I don't want anyone to raise their hands because I need to get better at this, but the Holy Spirit wants his church back. He wants to use you. Yeah, old messed up you, imperfect you, you that's got issues, you that has attitudes, you that still has some sin issues. He wants to use imperfect people through a perfect manifestation. All right, so unclean spirits, those are demons. Demons are still here today. People are still possessed with demons, unclean. And all unclean spirits are unclean. One of the gifts of the Spirit we'll talk about is called discerning of spirits. It means seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling spiritual things. And there are some ministers that their spiritual sense of smell is their number one way of when that gift operates. And there's this one pastor, this lady came up, you know, she was sick. She didn't tell him what it was. She was sick. And he said, it smelled so bad, it smelled like rotten sewage. He was smelling in the spirit. Whatever was happening to her, it wasn't in the natural. No one else smelled it, but he was like, oh, man, what in the world? And he said, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, that's cancer. Cancer has a stink in the spirit. It stinks. Okay? So anyway, he said, do you have cancer? She said, yeah, I do. She says, okay. And is it stage 4? Because it was strong. She said, yeah, it's stage 4. And as he prayed about it and listened to the Lord, the Lord gave this minister, this young minister, gave him an additional gift of the Spirit called the word of knowledge. He said, do you have some pretty severe unforgiveness towards your mother? Oh, she began to weep and cry. This lady was older. She goes, you'll never believe what she did to me as a kid. You'll never, and she started getting angry. He said, until you release the forgiveness, you won't be released from the cancer. And it wasn't God making that decree. It wasn't God saying that. It was a fact that this cancer is taking advantage of you because of your unforgiveness and bitterness. And so the Lord's trying to set her free. And he said to her, are you willing to let her go with the help of the Lord? And she just started to cry. She goes, yes. And the Lord helped her. And so she, right there, she forgave her mother and released her from all of the stuff that had happened. And he laid hands on her, and he could feel the heat of the anointing go in like fire, like a warm glow go into her. And she just lifted her hands and thanked God. She went back to the doctor. And the doctor examined her, and he said, this is nothing short of a miracle. There is not one bit of that cancer in your body anywhere whatsoever. It's all gone. Isn't that awesome? But thank God for discerning of spirits where you could smell cancer. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever smelled death? Death has a spiritual smell, and it's not good. All right? The death of the saints, when they get resurrected, that's sweet. But death in itself is an enemy. And there's a smell. Death has a smell to it, right? There's another pastor, Pastor Brooks. He's used all around the world, man. He's been used with gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about those. But he'll sometimes pick up the smell of mint. He'll smell mint. And when he smells that mint smell, he knows it's the healing anointing in operation. So he'll just call people up, and they get healed. They'll just get healed all over the place. Isn't that cool? So anyway, watch this. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Well, of course, man, paralyzed people being healed. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. So here's this sorcerer, a magician, Simon the magician, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So this magician, using magic art, black magic, whatever, had these people believing he was the power of God, right? And notice what happened. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man's the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his magic arts for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed in Jesus. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you agree that these believers in Samaria that had believed and were baptized, that Simon the magician that believed and was baptized, do you believe these people were saved?
Yes.
That's about 10 of you.
Yes.
You believe they were saved?
Yes.
Now, in many of our churches, the churches I grew up in, we stopped right there. Get them saved, get them water baptized, get them in Sunday school, get them volunteering. End of story. Period. But that's not the pattern in the book of Acts. Notice what it says in verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down from Jerusalem, prayed for them, these new believers. What they pray? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. It's possible to be born again, to be saved, water baptized, but you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. That's what it says right here. It's possible to be saved, water baptized, on your way to heaven, but you haven't received the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible pattern. In other words, it's great that you're saved, but you need power to do what he called you to do. Praise God. Right? And notice the priority they made on it. As soon as they found out these people saved, it's like, get down here now and pray for these people to receive the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants this church and every church to put that priority back on that again. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you're water baptized. But hold up, dude. You ain't leaving that door till you get the Holy Ghost, till you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You need that to fulfill your destiny in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And then, so what happened? So it said, for as yet, verse 16, he had fallen upon none of them. Thank God the Holy Spirit can fall upon you. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I saw this Wednesday night, but notice how they said that. Yeah, he said they had only been baptized. Bless their hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus. They've only been water baptized. Bless their hearts. What I'm saying is, to the apostles that started the church, water baptism wasn't all there was. The new birth is not all there is. There's something else. So what happened? What happened? Next verse. This is awesome. I don't know about you. I'm getting excited all by myself up here. But what they do, verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that on whom I lay my hands, they may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said, dude, you need to get your heart right. You're saved and all that and filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've got some attitude problems, right? Isn't it cool that God can even fill somebody that needs some issues dealt with? I mean, if he can fill Simon with the Holy Spirit, I know he can fill me and you. All right, let's look at a couple more. All right, then we're going to pray for people. And I'm going to say this, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, haven't received the Holy Spirit, I'm going to offer that invitation. We're going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Are you saying I'm not saved? I'm not saying anything. I'm going to give an invitation for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Right? All right? Because what I grew up with is when you got water baptized, when you got saved and water baptized, my elders told me, you've got all the Holy Spirit there is. But that's not what this says. That's not the truth. And it's the tradition of men that is robbing believers. Robbing the church. Amen. I don't want that. I want your destiny to be fulfilled. I want you to have all the equipment that God intended for you to have. Well, glory to God. Who all wants a Spirit-filled church?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I'm not going to cover all five of them. We'll be out of time. But this is enough to get some seed sown into you. And if you want God and you want truth, you'll be glad to hear it. And if you don't, I can't help you. I can't make you want it. Well, you know that old saying, you can lead a horse to water? I can lead you to the water of the Holy Spirit, but even God can't make you drink. He said, if any man's thirsty, let him drink. And you know what? Once you're filled, you need to keep on drinking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, all right, that's in Turkey, and finding some disciples, he said to them, notice his question, he found these disciples, followers of Jesus, and what did he ask these disciples? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Acts 19:2. And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy what? The Holy who? I know Jesus, but Holy Spirit, what is that? And that's the same thing happening right now in the church. I know Jesus is a really nice dude who loves me. But the Holy Spirit, who's that? And it's the same problem. But notice, if when you got saved and received Jesus, if you received the Holy Spirit automatically when you got saved, Paul wouldn't have to ask that question. In other words, he's saying, when you all believed on Jesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit as well as a second step? And they said, man, we don't know what you're talking about. If receiving the Holy Spirit automatically happened when you got saved, that question wouldn't need to be asked. Nod your head if you understand that. Now, what did he do? Verse 4, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, Paul basically told them, you guys need to be updated. You're behind on what's happened. But, you know, Jesus has come. He's already come. Apparently you missed that. Out, and he's come, died on the cross, risen from the dead. Now, when he said that, when they heard this gospel, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are they now saved at the end of verse 5?
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Yes.
Do you agree they're saved?
Yes.
But notice that's not the end of it. Notice verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Yes.
Wow, that's in the Bible.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's awesome. Good. That's the pattern. Be saved, be filled. Be saved, receive the Holy Spirit. It's two different things. You need both of them.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. If we're going to reach this generation, all these generations, my generation, the one above me, we've got to have the power to do it.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Amen. All right? It's about two till. Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
Another verse. I want you to see one more pattern. And I promise me this is worth your time. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. This is Peter preaching to a bunch of Italians. All right? The Italian band. While Peter was still speaking these words, he was preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. What? So in other words, Peter's Jewish team of believers were astonished. Why were these Jewish believers on Peter's team, Jewish Christians, why were they astonished? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. This is the first time that these Jewish Christians had ever seen a non-Jew filled with the Spirit. They thought that Jesus and the Holy Spirit was for Jews only. Now all of a sudden, Peter's preaching, and the Holy Spirit falls on these heathens. That's what the Jews thought, to these dogs. And the Holy Ghost filled these Italians. And how did they know that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. How did these guys know that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When you're speaking with tongues, you're magnifying God. You want to magnify God supernaturally? Receive the Holy Spirit. Get your prayer language that comes not out of your head, but out of your belly, and begin to supernaturally magnify God. Amen.
Amen.
That's in the Bible. Praise God. Somebody says, well, I think you're weird believing in speaking with tongues. I think you're weird that you don't believe in it. You claim to believe the Bible, yet you don't believe what's in the Bible. You claim to believe the Bible. I don't know who I'm talking to. You claim to believe the Bible, but yet you don't believe what's in the Bible. I don't know that I know everything in the Bible. One thing I know is we've got two counts here where they were filled for Acts 19 and spoke with tongues. Acts 10, they were filled and spoke with tongues. Amen. Yes. Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
He's awesome. Praise God. Who all wants to, that are in here that have already received the Holy Ghost, would you like to turn him in and live the rest of your life without him?
No.
You okay with not, by a raised hand, how much has the Holy Spirit made a huge difference in your life? Is there a difference between just being saved and being saved and filled?
Yes.
Big difference, right?
Yes.
Some of us need to remember how big of a difference that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've forgotten how huge of a difference that is. We need to stir this up.
Yes.
We need to stir up the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me finish. Notice what he said. They spoke with tongues and magnify God. I had people when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, got set free from marijuana, smoking it and growing it, grain alcohol, you name it, I was doing it, man. And I grew up a moral kid. But when I got to college, the religion that I was taught was not enough. But I, you know, in all of that rebellion and destroying my body and my mind and my reputation, in all of that, a spirit-filled man, a student, came into my life. I thought the dude was nuts because he spoke in this funny language when he prayed. I said, what's that funny language? He said, oh, it's tongues. I said, it's what? What? Man, it rocked my world. But I saw the joy in him. And after a few weeks, I said, Joe, man, whatever you got, man, I want it. He said, well, you can have it. And I received the Holy Spirit, received my prayer language. And Rhea and I were engaged to be married, and she was a good denominational gal. I was a heathen. And, you know, just in and out of church, really not committed like she was. Anyway, I was so excited about the Holy Spirit coming into my life. I'd come home from college, and we would date on the weekends. And all I wanted to talk to her about was the Holy Spirit. That's how much it rocked my world. Till 2 and 3 in the morning, she finally said one night, Byron, you have got to chill, man. I mean, it's 2 in the morning, and that's all you talk about. I realized, oh, maybe it is all I'm talking about. So, the Lord said, just chill, leave her alone, back off, let me deal with her. And so I backed off. It wasn't easy, so I just mowed my mom and dad's lawn like 3 and 4 times a week so I could mow the lawn just so I could pray in tongues, you know. And about 7 or 8 months, I forget how long, 6 or 8 months later, she said, Byron, are you still praying in tongues? I said, kind of. She goes, man, I like you a lot better when you're excited about praying in the Spirit.
Yes.
I like you better spirit-filled.
Yes.
Wise, if your husband's not spirit-filled, you don't know what you're missing. Amen. And so when I was in college, you know, before I answered the call to ministry, I was making D's and C's. And I mean studying all night long. I'm talking about all night long and going and flunking and over again. I would read something in my college textbook and close it, and I thought, I don't even know what subject it is. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, immediately I could read a King James Bible and understand it.
Yep. Wow.
My mentality, whatever that learning disability was completely healed in my brain. I no longer had any type of a learning disability. And recall of scriptures and stuff like that is totally supernatural.
Yep.
But that all came with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, as we close here, it's great. that you're saved, water baptized. You may have grown up in church. Many of you were filled with the Holy Spirit years ago, but the Lord's really encouraging you. You need to stir it up. You need to really start praying in this. There's no excuse for you to be defeated if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no, I'm going to say this, and it might make you upset, but there's no excuse for you being depressed if you pray much in the Holy Spirit, because it says you edify yourself. You build yourself up. Amen. There's no reason if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have your prayer language, there's no reason for you to have bitterness and grudges for months and years, because the love of God has been shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no reason you can't be prosperous and successful. Because as you pray in the Spirit, He's helping you pray out your plan, pray out your future, pray out everything. I'm telling you what, man, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be Spirit-filled in our gatherings. Our worship needs to be Spirit-filled. It so blessed me that this team stepped out and did a lot of prophesying and flowing in the Holy Ghost. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of the seeker-friendly three songs, a quick sermon, and get out. I can't live on that. I don't want a long service just so we can brag we had a long service. I mean, that's dumb, you know. But I don't know where you guys are with this, but I don't want to lose the opportunity we have to be all that God called us to be. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. I will. I have two spirits that I'm led by. And I love both of them. Wednesday, I said, praying in tongues is praying out tomorrow today.
Awesome.
Amen. So you know what? If you may be saved, you may be water baptized, you may not be saved. It doesn't matter whether you are or you're not as far as what I'm going to say. But if you're not filled and haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes. We're going to offer that to you today. You need to receive your prayer language and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray for you. And help you to receive. I'm telling you, do you want all that God has for you?
Yes. Amen.
Do you want everything that God has for you?
Yes.
I mean, I do, and I want everything. I want to be all that He called me to be. And if that's the pattern in the book of Acts, and it's the pattern for us, God didn't change. It's still the pattern for us today. And we're going to begin to move on Wednesday nights and our training classes. You're welcome to that. And our training on Wednesday night, we're going to be activating people in the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be activating people in our first service on Sunday. And just expect God to flow and learn. And we make mistakes, we'll learn from them and keep on moving. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is so good.
Yes, He is.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've
had five people filled with the Holy Spirit in the past 2 weeks. I'm going to do the best I can as your pastor to let the Holy Ghost have His church back. And, at least if they're... Anyway, I'm going to say this. It's kind of cheesy, but it was said back in the 70s, and it's just still cheesy, but it's still true. A church alive is worth the drive. This family here travels an hour, to come. So it's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. So if you don't have your prayer language, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I just want you to come down to the front. We're going to pray for you.